Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are continuing our study and in the midst of the life of Joseph at this point. You'll remember that Joseph is in prison. He has faithfully served the Lord there. He continued to do the right thing, even though doing the right thing landed him in prison. But he's continuing to do the right thing. And so in chapter 40, we have a pivotal event that lays the groundwork for what will follow. This is God's word. Sometime later, the cupbearer and baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they'd been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness, mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, Joseph is in prison, in a dungeon. It's a jail that is underneath the house of Potiphar, who was the captain of the guard. And so literally, I mean, you know, people are trying to get up in the world. He has gone down, literally. He's in an underground prison, basically, under the house that he used to be in charge of. He used to run that house. Now he's just the head prisoner. But he's having a wonderful time. No. He says, please, when you get your job back, remember me and get me out of this prison. He didn't want to be there. He wasn't having a wonderful time. Get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here, I have not done anything to deserve to be put in a dungeon. Do you understand? I don't belong here. I'm in the wrong place. It's injustice that has resulted in my being here. He was not glad to be there. He was there. And the fact that he didn't like where he was didn't cause him to be less diligent in doing his job well, attending to the needs of others. That's what he did. You see, he was assigned to take care of the chief baker and the chief cupbearer. He attended to them. And when he shows up one morning, after they've been there a long time, he shows up one morning to take care of them, and he notices that they're kind of down. He doesn't just blow it off. He inquires, what's going on? You seem discouraged. What's happened? Do you have that kind of sensitivity toward others, or are you just waiting for people to do that for you?
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I am surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, possums and skunks. And just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Wares Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary that were chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you'll hear every time is God's Word. God's eternal, inerrant Word, which points us to Jesus and teaches us to trust Him. I'm delighted to partner with the Wilkins Network in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us, and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand.
I mean, Joseph was not happy with his situation, you understand? But he was trusting in the Lord and doing his job, including being sensitive to the needs of others. And when he saw that somebody was down, caring about them and asking about what's going on. Well, their response was, we both had dreams last night. How many of you within the last week have had a dream? Okay. All of us have more dreams than we remember. But some of us sometimes have a dream that is memorable. I have kind of movie script type things in my mind. I won't bore you with any of the plots, but I will tell you this. These guys had dreams that they could tell were significant, but they didn't know what they meant. And as they said, there's nobody to tell us. And Joseph said, and this is going to be important, Joseph said, do not the interpretations belong to God. Tell me your dreams. Now that could sound bizarre to somebody, you know. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Is Joseph saying he's God? Nobody knows God. Do you? You see, the reason why we have the privilege of introducing people to Jesus is if we know Jesus. Not just know about him, but know him. There's a difference between knowing about somebody or knowing someone who knows that person and having a relationship with someone. You understand? Joseph had a relationship with God. God was with him. You remember that phrase? It occurs over and over. God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. Why did Joseph say, tell me your dreams? Because he's going to go ask God. He treats God not as a concept, but as the living God. And he knows him. And he trusts him even though he's in a dungeon. He doesn't say, well, you know, I used to believe in God myself. But maybe you should just pray about it. He says, well, tell me. Because he knows who to ask. And he hears from God. And God has been giving him reassurance. Why did he not do what Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to do? Because it would be a sin against God. It was on the basis of his relationship with God that he did not do something with Potiphar's wife. It wasn't on the basis of his relationship with Potiphar. It wasn't on the basis of his concern that he might get caught. It was on the basis of his not wanting to grieve the Lord. He did the right thing out of reverence for God. So he says to these men, interpretations belong to the Lord. Tell me your dream. And so they did. And Joseph got the interpretation. And he told the chief cupbearer, within 3 days, you're going to have your head lifted up by Pharaoh and you're going to be brought out and restored to your position. And the chief baker, who had not yet told his dream, thought, oh, I like that. Let me tell you my dream. Now, he didn't make this dream up. Both of them actually had these dreams. But the baker wanted the interpretation when he thought it was going to be good news. I know people who refuse to go to the doctor because they're afraid the doctor's going to tell them they have this terrible disease. So instead of going and finding out the news, they just stay back and are afraid. Let's just say that's not good mental health. All right? I know people who are afraid to step on the scale because they think it might confirm what is obvious if they look in the mirror. So they just, I'm not going to do that. Well, why not? Well, I don't want to do that. The baker heard the interpretation that the cupbearer got, and he said, okay, I'll tell you mine. Okay? I had a dream in which there were 3 baskets of bread on my head. The guy's a baker. He dreams about bread. Okay, it makes sense. And he says, the bread was for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating the bread that was in the top basket. What does that mean? Well, there's a play on words here because the cupbearer is told, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to lift up your head. In 3 days, the baker's head is going to be lifted up and off. Okay? Ooh. That's not a nice diagnosis. That's not a nice prognosis. But it's exactly what happened. Joseph didn't say to them, I think there's a chance you're going to get your job back and you're going to die. He said, within 3 days, this is what will happen for you, and this is what will happen for you. The matter is settled. I don't have to be afraid of when I'm going to die, because I don't know when I'm going to die, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But the day and hour of my departure has already been set by God. If you know that, you can live with confidence. It's not, oh boy, what if I make a bad decision? Oh, you're going to make bad decisions. Well, what if there are negative consequences? Well, there will be negative consequences. Well, what should I do? Live your life for Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you allow fear of making a poor decision to keep you from making decisions, you're making a bad decision. You understand? There's work to be done. There are people who need to know that God loves them. And you and I are not perfect people, but we know somebody who is perfect. Joseph didn't say, do not interpretations belong to me? Tell me your dreams. He said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Because he had a relationship with God that made it so that he could bring whatever that concern was to the Lord. And that's the kind of person we need to be. That was Joseph in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, who did not have the blessing of every Christian on the planet. If you are a born-again child of God, God lives in you, not just with you. Jesus promised, he that is with you, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. Jesus said, he that is with you shall be in you. Your body, Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God himself dwells within his people. That is true of us in plurality. It is true of us individually. God the Holy Spirit, not just part of the Spirit. You know, well, I got a piece of the Holy Spirit. No. God the Holy Spirit lives in me. Pastor Wood, that sounds awfully self-important. It's not self-important at all. God's the important one. He lives in us if we are his people. If you've been redeemed, it wasn't just so that you could be forgiven and miss hell. It's so that you can display the glory of God in this life and throughout eternity. Hallelujah. The devil will try and make us think that we haven't been forgiven. And if we finally decide to believe that we are forgiven because of what Jesus done, he will try and make us think that that's all. It's all there is. You got forgiven. Okay. You're forgiven. Not going to argue with that. But don't start thinking that you matter. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Christian. You are God's vessel to display his glory in the earth. And so is that other believer and that other believer and that other believer. And therefore, we need to be in relationship with each other. We need to love one another. Well, that person has a personality that I just find difficult. Yeah, I know what you mean. But we're going to spend forever together, so let's start working on that relationship. Does that mean I have to be best friends with everybody? No. But it means you need to start looking for the Lord in your brothers and sisters in Christ, not just trying to get something out of their eye while you've got a beam in your own. When Joseph told these fellows the interpretation. He said to the cupbearer. Now, he did not say to the baker, hey, would you speak to Pharaoh? Because he knew the baker was going to die. But he says to the cupbearer, when you are back in your position and everything is going well for you, please don't forget me. I just want to ask you a question. Do you sometimes forget people who've helped you? People who've blessed you, people who've been kind to you, people who may have prayed for you, spoken a word of encouragement to you, done things for you? Sometimes we get so focused on our immediate situation and things are going well and I'm happy, and we don't realize there were a whole bunch of other people who helped get us there. I heard from somebody yesterday who said, I was a preschooler in your church on Cape Cod, and I played with your children in the preschool, and I still remember you, and we really missed you when you left, but I'm so glad for the work you're doing in Tennessee. Isn't that precious? I love it when people do that for me. But it begs the question, when was the last time I did that for somebody? When was the last time I reached out and said, hey, I know it's been a long time, but I just want you to know I appreciate what you did. I appreciate what you said. Encourage one another. Don't just forget one another. Well, he says, please tell Pharaoh about me and get me out of this prison. Chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. I thought I finally was going to get out. I mean, this guy has the ear of the ruler of Egypt. You know, the first few days go by and he thinks, well, he's busy. You know, he's probably doesn't want to bring it up first thing. But a year goes by. There's another birthday party. Nothing happens. We'll pick it up in chapter 41 next time, God willing. But I want you to understand that Joseph spent 2 full years waiting to hear some good news that the cupbearer had gone to bat for him. 2 full years. Well, 2 years isn't that long a time. Well, it is if you're in a dungeon. You understand? And he'd been in the dungeon quite a while. And before that, he was a slave in a foreign country. Joseph is not having a good day or a good week or a good month. Day after day after day, he's in the dungeon wanting out. But he's not getting out. Not yet. Because it's not time. God is at work in your life. Those of you who are here, those of you who watch or listen, you need to know that God is at work in your life. And there are things that we are so eager to see God do. And it's not happening from anything we can see. But the timing of God is perfect. God is always on time. Even when it doesn't look like it. Lazarus, his friend whom he loved, was dying. And they sent for him because they knew Jesus has the power to heal. But Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And so when he received word that Lazarus was sick and dying, he stayed where he was. He didn't go. How'd you like to be Mary and Martha? You know Jesus got the message. You know he's not that far away. He should be here by now. Where is he? How'd you like to be Lazarus? Did you send word to Jesus? Yes, honey, we told him, I'm sure he'll be here soon. He wasn't. He didn't show up till Lazarus died and was buried. God just not care about Lazarus? Was Jesus upset with him? No. God had a special plan for Lazarus, without which none of us would know his name. I don't know what God has in store for you. I don't even know what he has in store for me. But I know that God knows what he has in store for us. And it's good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.